you think about the fear, the doubt, the questions, the everything. That's the road that's been developed over time. And so to be able to break that road from one point to the other, you have to use energy. You have to use something to break that connection and then rebuild another one. And so it's kind of like tearing up a road where construction workers have to go out there and break it up and put up, make a new one. And so that takes time, that takes energy. And so the more that you can realize that, the more that you refocus back on the positive thoughts that you want to have rather than the negative ones, each time you come back to it, the more that you're creating that new pathway for your brain, the more that new road is created. One, two. Welcome to the Bold Moves How Did You Know podcast, a podcast for the naturally curious who want to define their own path. I'm your host, Kristen Rocco, and here I'm sharing bold move stories that propelled my guests from curiosity to action. And in doing so, they've defined a path that is purposeful to them. Through these stories, I hope you'll be inspired to pursue your boldest dreams. Today, I am thrilled to introduce you to Mikkel Leslie. Mikkel is a champion, author, and coach for those ready to live their own lives. She has coached hundreds of individuals, awakening them to their potential. Before coaching, Mikkel went through her own journey of self-exploration, moving from what she was supposed to do to what she's passionate about. Her journey started with engineering, technology, and sales, and has led her to inspiring others to stand up for their own lives. Mikkel, welcome to the Bold Moves podcast. I am thrilled to have you here. How are you?
I'm doing so well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to hop in and chat about bold moves, our lives, everything.
Me too. Speaking of that, I love your bio. It's very empowering. And it reminds me that we both have somewhat of a connected or parallel path message of helping people live their potential. And of course, we all have journeys that led us to the path of our full potential. Would you mind taking us behind the scenes of your life and talk about what your life looked like up to this point?
Yes, it is quite the journey for sure. So sometimes I say that I've lived multiple lives in my one life because my journey, my path has been so different. So as I mentioned in the bio, I have an engineering degree, environmental engineering. I did that for about 9 months and I was like, nope, this isn't for me. I don't like sitting behind a desk. I like to interact with people more. So I was like, oh, maybe sales might be the answer, the thing that I like to do. And so I went into that and it was all technology and sales and working in automation, which is cool and interesting. And one job that I had, it was kind of like how it was made every day. So I was behind the scenes in production facilities, seeing how bottles were made or packaging, all sorts of different things. So I have an idea of how all these different things are made, which is really cool. But from there, I was working at a startup where I was stressed and overwhelmed. And I was like, this is not it. Like, that added to the pressure of being like, you need to figure out what it is that you want. And I've always been passionate. Well, not always. At that point, I was becoming more passionate about the outdoors and being in nature and that connection. And so I was like, oh, I want to work at an outdoor company. And so I transitioned to an outdoor company, and that wasn't it. I was like, what is it for me? So at that point, I threw up my hands. I was like, I don't know what my life entails, what I need to do. So I left work just out of the blue. I was like, I'm going to write a book on women on the outdoors. Turns out I wasn't a writer at the time, so I didn't write the book. But I spent the time backpacking and figuring out what I wanted to do with my life. And for me, it came down to two things for at that time, and it was helping others and being outside. And that's when I actually moved out to Utah from California and worked at a wilderness therapy program where I backpacked with kids and worked on their therapy outdoors. And there is all where I learned about your emotions, your mindset, your thoughts, your beliefs, and how it has an impact on how you show up in the world and how you feel. And I realized that adults are never taught this. Like, I was never taught this. No one around me knew this stuff. And all these kids were getting this experience and not. Just like, I need to teach this because it would have helped so much in all the different experiences that I've had throughout my life, my work, my family, and my relationships and everything. So at that point, I was like, okay, I need to teach people this. And that's when I became a coach and really helping others to really understand how it is they work as humans, because we're not really giving ourselves a manual on how it is to be human. And so with that, I'm able to be able to help people break down how their mindset has an impact on their life, how their mind is such a powerful thing, and being able to utilize that to their benefit.
Whoa. There were so many pivots.
Yes.
And it seems like a mixture of figuring out what you want to do and then also trying to be intentional about what you want to do. And, you know, it's a lot of zigging and zagging into some wrong stuff before you get more information about what's right. I want to learn from you in that, just, you know, that story of your journey to where you are today. What were your bold moves within that?
Each adventure, each new thing could be seen as one. But I think the biggest one was leaving the outdoor company, because at the time it was going from a startup and making six figures and then going to like $70,000, and then at the outdoor company, and then being like, okay, I want to like do something else. I just need something for my brain to be like, okay, what is it that I'm doing next? And it's like writing a book, I'll write a book. And so I looked into agents and how to write a book and all these different things. And so that was very unknown for me. I didn't know. And I think it was best that I didn't know what I didn't know, because if I knew, I probably wouldn't have done it. But it was a jump to be like, okay, I'm going to throw all of that experience, all that knowledge, and be like, I'm just going to work on a book, on something that I'm passionate about and that I've been thinking about for a while. And so I think that's been one of my biggest move, big bold moves, mm-hmm. is just because it was such a drastic change from one thing to the other, of being like, okay, no, like I'm not going to get a paycheck. I'm going to do my own thing and move on from that.
Yes, that uncertainty about what lies ahead, I think, is a huge piece of what constitutes a bold move. So what did you learn about yourself when you were going from, you know, your job to something completely different? What were some of the biggest lessons?
Yes, there was so much. There was so much self-exploration, because it was 6 months of me turning inwards and figuring out what it is that I wanted in my life and my mm-hmm. career and what I stood for and what my values were. All these things and ideas that I didn't have time or space to really dive into, or energy really mm-hmm. dive into before with all my previous jobs. So it was understanding that, like, oh yeah, I really do love the outdoors and want that to be part of my life more. I love helping people and that connection with others. Like, how can I include that into my life more? And so how figuring this all out as I'm going through it, and then on the back end of that too, spending time in nature, backpacking myself and going out in the Tahoe area and just being outdoors by myself backpacking, and the challenges associated with that, being like, okay,
yeah,
I've only backpacked like once or twice before, and here we go, we're going out there. There may have been a bear adventure, there may have been water issues, there have been light issues, there were a few issues out there by myself, but it was so much that made me look inwards, of showing me how strong I was and how competent and what to do, what I do when things go wrong and how I can support myself. There was so much growth and potential that I saw in myself during that time.
What you said there about getting to learn about yourself and figuring out what you want and who you are, I know for both you and me, that's the starting point to the whole next chapter of your own path. You coach hundreds of people. I speak with lots of people on this podcast, and we both know it comes down to understanding what you want and why you want it. That's the starting point for everything. You wrote a book. You became an author eventually, Mikkel. It may not have been on the topic of wilderness and the outdoors, but you wrote a book capturing all of the learnings that you discovered about yourself going through your self-discovery process. And it's called Soar by Living Your Life. Ditch unhealthy expectations and get after what you want. I love this subtitle, Ditch Unhealthy Expectations. Why did you make that a core message? What unhealthy expectations are people living by?
Oh, so many of them. There are so many things where society has put pressures on us, ourselves, social media, our friends, our family, unknowingly putting pressures on us that are unhealthy for us on one way or another. So this could be about how you look, or the job that you have, the money that you make, your weight, your relationship. There's so many different components of your life that can be expected of you. And if you don't know for yourself of what those expectations that you have for yourself, you can't really dive in and be like, okay, that's not me. That's not what I want anymore. That's not the life that I want to live. And only by knowing what you're seeing, what you're hearing from yourself, can you rewrite that narrative for yourself and be able to say, this is what I want to stand for. This is who I am. This is who I am becoming. And this is the life that I'm going to live. And so it's a pulling back of all the things that everyone else has said that you've picked up over your life and really rewriting that narrative to one that is based on your own values, to who it is that you want to be within this life.
When do you think people stop to take stock of that question? Because life is full of routines and obligations and responsibilities. When you're working with your clients, do you see a pattern around when people start to reach out to you and say, enough is enough? I got to start living my own life.
Yeah, there's different points for individuals. And it really is that enough is enough for a lot of them. I've been like, okay, I've lived my life so much so far. There's got to be more to life than this. And the biggest thing is that stress and overwhelm that they're feeling, that pressure to live up to those expectations of everything that they've built within their lives and realizing that this is not right. This is not what they want. And so it could be a relationship trigger where they're fighting with their partner a lot. And they're like, something's wrong. Something's off. I need to get this fixed. I need to leave them. I need to do something different. Or it might be their job or like, I'm done. Like, I can't have this anymore. Or it could be anything else that triggers them to be like, I want more from life. And this is, something's wrong. Something's different. And it's hard because in truth, there's nothing wrong with them. It's this understanding that something is wrong with them, that they put all these, like, it's like a big blanket that they put on themselves of everything else that's going on, that there's something that's holding them back from their true potential. And once that's released, then they can become who they are, because they're worthy, they're enough, they're full of potential all by themselves. But because of all these expectations, all these requirements that they put on themselves, they're not enjoying life as they're living it today. And so it's beautiful to watch them blossom, to grow into that true potential of who they can become, to see them in amazing relationships, to see them start business, to see them let go of clients and welcome new ones in IRAs. There's so much that can be had when you're living your truth.
I just got a visual image of a metamorphosis of a caterpillar to a butterfly. And that's really what it seems like. You know, people do blossom from, you know, where they were or who they were to now who they are becoming. And the first part of that, as we already spoke to, is really getting intentional about that and asking yourself those really, on paper, they're easy, right? But they're not easy. They're very hard. It took you 6 months. You said it took me about a year to even scratch the surface. And we constantly come back to those questions. I mean, would you agree with that? Are you always reevaluating what you want, why you want it?
Oh, totally. I think there's always new revisions of it, new levels of it, new bigger understandings and acceptance that you can have what it is that you want. Because you can say these different things, but believing that you can have them and sinking into them and understanding that whatever it is you want, you can have. It's hard. It can be hard because we put on so many different beliefs saying you can't, it's too hard, it's not enough, it's not worth it, you're not enough, all these different things. And so the more that you can come back to your wholeness, your strength, your power, and with that comes one of the biggest things that I see is that stress and overwhelm that people face. And so the biggest thing that can help with that is space, is relaxation, is taking a deep breath and letting it all go and being present to your life. Meditating, yoga, going on walks, playing with your kids, and being present. All those different things can really refocus you to the here and now and decrease the chatter of all the pressure of the future, of the past, all the expectations that you've had over time, and really allow you to live your life.
It doesn't come without the intentionality, as you said, about shedding those old things. You know, that takes work, but the other side is just as beautiful as that butterfly, isn't it?
It is. It truly is. To really see your true potential. Because on the back end of it, as you're metamorphosizing, you don't know what you're going to look like. You don't know how good life is going to be. until you get to the other side. And so all these doubts and fears are still there, and you're questioning it, and you're doubting it, but you're still doing it.
Yeah.
And then you get to the other side, and you're like, oh, this is it. And a lot of people that I work with, they're always afraid, like, their other shoe's going to drop. It's like, this is not going to be their life forever.
Yes.
So it's getting used to that life as their own, and really sinking into, your life can be this good. Your life is this good. This is your life now. And really releasing the old and becoming the new.
I want to dive deeper into some of the topics, these deeper topics that you talk about in the book. But when I was reading the foreword or the introduction, I was stopped when I read this line. You said, if nothing else, I want this book to show you that you have choices. That's a big message. And I was curious about why this was an important message for you. Why was the intentionality behind the book to show the readers they have choices?
There's so much that tells us that we can't, that we're not good enough, that we should be thinner, we should be richer, we should be living the millionaire life, we should be living something that isn't our own. And so knowing and stepping back to be like, wait, I can choose how I live my life. I can choose when I wake up in the morning. I can choose what job I have. All these different things you're choosing. And so bringing it back to realizing that each day that you wake up, each day that you go to work, you're actually choosing that action to go to work, because you could not go to work. Like, that is an option for you. Like, technically, at the root of it, it is an option. Yes, there's consequences. Yes, you might have to pay bills. Yes, you might have to move. Like, there's all the different things. But at the end of the day, everything you do is a choice. And the more that you can be aware of that choice, the more that you can see, I can change this if it's not working for me. I can change my relationship and how I talk with them. I can change my work and what I'm doing there. I can change my business and allow it to be more fulfilling. I can change how I show up with my kids. There's so many different ways that you can create the life that you really desire. And by stepping back and realizing that it's all a choice, then you can really see, like, oh, like, I can change this. I can make things happen in ways that really align for me.
So another way that what you do and what I'm doing intersect, because when I started this podcast, I started it from a hypothesis that people who make bold moves are both courageous and decisive. And that's where I think that your idea here intersects with my hypothesis, because you have choices, but just having the choice and knowing the choices isn't enough. You need to act on the choice, right? And that's where this making a bold move comes into play. And I think that's the pivotal moment where somebody needs to decide. So coming back to decisiveness, am I going to choose to make this decision about what my new potential life could look like? Or am I going to continue on fulfilling everybody else's expectations, fulfilling everyone else's version of success, right? And so I think that's a cool way to talk about how choices need to then end up in making a decision to then move forward into this new path that you want to define for yourself. So in your book, you teach a lot of different things. I've written some questions about a lot of these things that you're teaching. One of the areas you spend a lot of time on is human design. We have never talked about human design on this podcast. And so I would love for you to talk about this.
Yeah. So complex wise, just for everyone knows, human design can be as complex as you want it or as simple as you want it. So don't be afraid if you see it and you're like, oh, it's too much, it's overwhelming. Just look up one thing and dive in from there. But it is a modality that's based on 5 different modalities. So it's a combination of so many different things. And some of them include astrology, the Chinese I Ching, neuroscience, quantum mechanics, and quantum physics. All these different things come together to create human design. And so it kind of combines a little bit of my nerdy side, engineering side, as well as the spiritual side into one. And it shows us how we are all each individual, as well as how we're not the same. So it's kind of like a personality test on steroids, all based off of your birth date. And it's funny because some of the people that I work with, they're engineers, they're more science-based. And I tell them about this, and they're like, no, And then I like break down their chart and like what it is and who they are. And they're like, yes, that is me. Okay, let's dive in. What else you got with it all? So it has so much potential to be able to help you understand yourself and how you're working. It really allows you a code to unlock who it is and how you work and how you're different from everyone else. Because I'm different than my husband. I'm different than my parents. I'm different than everyone around me. And the more that I can understand that, the more I can sink in and be like, okay, what you said, like you said that was the best way for you to work and you think that's for the best way for everyone to work, but it's not best for me. And this is why, and I know this, that can be so empowering. And so it's huge to be able to see what it is that's for you and what's not for you and be able to sink in to your power and your gifts. One of my clients that I've worked with, she had one initial session and afterwards she went to this meeting and she spoke up about something and she was like, oh, I unleashed my power. Like I used my superpower for it all. And like, she stood up, like she spoke in that voice, like in this state of mind. And everyone came up to her and was like, oh, that was a really good idea. Like, thank you for sharing that. And she would have never done that, not knowing her gift and her potential through it all. So it was this awakening within herself of who she really is.
That's the high level overview. Yes. And then it breaks down into, and I don't know how deep we have to get here, but it does break down into archetypes. What's really funny is I've downloaded my human design chart and it is quite accurate. So I think it's interesting. I mean, just from a curiosity factor, it might be interesting for people to look into.
Totally. Yeah. And there's so many resources online. My website has classes and my book has information about it too. So there's so many different ways that you can get information with it all. Because just seeing it, seeing what you are, doesn't provide you a ton of information. Seeing that you're a generator, projector, and these numbers and this body chart thing, you're like, what does all this mean? So it's information out there. Just look it up. You can go to my website to get more information on classes, and my book has information too.
Why was it important for you to layer in human design in your book as the first section?
Yes, I went back and forth on it actually because it's a spiritual component. It's something that can turn off a lot of people or it can turn on them depending on who they are. And so I went back and forth on it and debating whether I should include it or not. But it's a big component, it's a huge component of my coaching and what I teach because if you don't understand yourself and who you are and the underlying like code and blueprint of who it is that you are, all the other work doesn't matter because you have nothing to layer it on. You can feel worthy. You can try to feel worthy, but you're always going to doubt yourself and question yourself because you don't live like your friend or your mother or different things. And so when you can see that distinction of how it is that you're different and really sinking into who you are, there's so much power and so much potential that can be had with it all. Yeah. Part one is all about human design. And so it's all about diving into your type, your profile, as well as your authority. The first part of my book is all about human design, and it includes your type, your profile, and your authority. And so this is how your type is how your energy, how you utilize energy and how you interact with others around you. Your profile is, this is what one of the things that my clients mentioned as their secret weapon, that superpower that they had. It's your basis of how you do life, really. And then your authority is how you make decisions. And it's funny because decision-making is such a thing that so many people teach, of being like, oh, you just need to act fast, you need to make that decision, you need to move forward. And we've already talked about that on this podcast. And within human design, each individual person has different ways that they actually can go about making decisions. There's eight different ways that you go and go about making decisions based on your authority. And so knowing that, like for me, I am an emotional authority, which means that I need to make a pause to make decisions and allow my emotions to settle before making them. So my natural tendency before learning this was get super excited about something, see an offer and be like, oh, I totally need to do this. And I bought programs like this. I bought like so many different things. And it's always like burnt out and like not gone very well. Or like a lot of the time it had because I was riding this high and being bought into it and pulled in. Or on the other side where I was feeling a negative emotion or stress or anger or anything else. And I would do everything and anything to get out of it. And that was not the best time. And so human design taught me that I can actually wait to be able to allow those emotions to settle and figure out once everything settles, what is it that I actually want to do? And that opened such a window for myself to be able to see like, oh, life's a lot easier when you're not just riding this wave of emotions that go in and out of your life. And 50% of the population actually has an emotional authority. So if you don't know this, you're going to have same things where I was. You're going to be buying things when you're in this emotional state. You're going to be trying to get out of those negative emotions as fast as possible. There's so much that can be learned about yourself by understanding who you work.
Yeah, and I wonder if you have any thoughts on this. I've just been researching the topic of journaling and the science behind journaling, and you triggered me to think about it because we have such emotional response. I mean, we are all humans, which is probably why 50% of us get that emotional response, and that's how we make decisions. But sometimes the emotions can be so overpowering. And the science of journaling says that just being able to freely write out what you're feeling can actually help you elaborate on your feelings more effectively. So you can actually understand them at a more nuanced level than you can when they're just in your mind. So to take that one step further, when you do feel that overwhelm of emotion, right? Journaling can really help you work through what your true feeling is, and then also get down to some rational decision making around those to help you then, as you said, Mikkel, move forward in making the right decision for you. About journaling?
Yeah. Oh, the second part is, and third part, I'll have a lot of journaling. And actually at the end of each chapter, there's journal prompts to be able to help guide individuals through their journey, through everything. And I think the biggest thing with emotions is that we've taught to bottle them up, to not show them, to not express them. Mm-hmm. And so for a lot of us, journaling might be like letting it out and being scary, like what's underneath all of that. And so just being able to express your emotions and feeling safe to do so can go a long ways, because these emotions are trying to tell you something. And the more that you bottle them up, the more they're going to hit you on the head and be like, yeah, I'm still here. Yes, you got to feel me. Yes, you got to experience this. And once you're able to open up and see what's underneath them, it can go a long ways. And so journaling is a wonderful way to do it. Expressing yourself through movement. I have a tool within the book called Swamping, and it's putting on music and being able to express yourself with music to be able to release some of that emotion and be able to express it. Or just talking it out. There's so many different ways you can express emotions, and it's really depending on you and how it is that you work and what works for you in that moment.
So part one is dedicated to teaching you all about yourself, so that you can make choices from that place of internal knowing. Then we move into part two, which is all about building self-worth. And so if I had a word of the year in terms of where I'm learning the most this year, it's about self-worth, ironically. There is a new book out by Jamie Kern Lima, but it's called Worthy. And it goes into this topic. It's the focus of the book. And I'm really learning a lot about self-worth. And this may have been a missing component around making bold moves. And I'm assuming there's a lot of people who don't know about self-worth, because we hear the term self-worth and we think we understand it, but there's a lot of layers to it. So I've got a couple questions related to self-worth for you to help us dispel and understand better what goes into self-worth. And the first one is, why is building self-worth non-negotiable for making bold choices and bold moves?
If you're not feeling worthy in those choices, all the doubt, all the fear is going to hold you back. It's not going to move forward. Without self-worth, you're not going to move forward. You're not going to take those hard, scary steps that you need to make it happen. You're just going to be stuck and stagnant and being like, it's not worth it. Like, what's the point? There's no reason to do it. I'm okay right now. Like, I'm not worthy of it. You're going to be stuck. You're not going to move forward. So it's non-negotiable, because it doesn't, without it, you're not going to move forward.
If you don't want to move forward, or if you're making excuses about moving forward, there's some level of worthiness at play. And I think that's how you can start to really understand where some of your limitations are or your limiting beliefs are. Can you shine a light on some of those other things that go into this bigger, broader term of self-worth?
Yes, there's so many different, there's so many different components. And then it's also so simple too. It's this thing that is an enigma in a way, because it can be as complex or simple as you make it. Because worth, if you're able to sink in and feel worthy, like, done. All right, cool. Move on. Like, you can make it happen. You can make steps to make it happen. But to actually make that happen can be hard because you have all the external expectations. You have all the doubt, the fear, the questions, all the things that want to keep you safe. So I think one of the things that really holds us back with stepping into the unknown and stepping into what it is that we truly want on those bold moves is the unknown, is thinking and questioning and being like, the unknown's scary. The unknown's unknown. Like, I don't know what to expect. I don't know if I'm going to be safe. And so part of worthiness is feeling safe, is feeling secure, is feeling loved and appreciated and at home with whatever happens. It's being able to be in your own company no matter what and be okay and be at peace and be able to breathe and relax into, this is my life. Got this. I know what I'm doing. And so it's combination of trust, of safety, of knowing that you can make things happen no matter what. There's so many different things that can go into it, but the root of it is just worthiness. And so, as I mentioned, it can be as complex or simple as you want to make it, but the more that you dive into it and explore it layer by layer, the more you can really see that you are worthy. No matter what, no matter who says anything, no matter what doubts and fears that you have, you are worthy. And the more that you can come back to that, the more it'll serve you.
I wonder if we can bring this to life too in a personal example and that you might have to share, you might be willing to share about where you were able to uncover the fact that you did not feel worthy in this area. And then by recognizing the fact that you had some things to work out, you were able to do the work and then ultimately feel worthy. And then what was that outcome? What was that success that you were able to achieve from there? Is there an example that you could think of that might highlight this idea of worth that can be elusive to people?
Oh, yes. So I worked at the Wilderness Therapy Program for about a year and I left because it was like a little too much stress for my relationship. There's things going on. I was like, okay, it's time to move on. So I did. Okay. Like, what's next? Because I didn't move into coaching right away. And part of it was the doubt, the fear, the concern of it all, the questioning doubts, the unworthiness. And it was actually at a dance event and people were dancing inside. It was like a cool down area where we were sitting outside. And I was talking with someone. He was like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, well, I'm in between jobs right now. Like, I don't know quite what I'm going to do. He was like, oh, what do you want to do? I was like, oh, I want to be a life coach. And he was like, oh, cool. So you're going to be a life coach or what? And I'm like, what? Like, I can just decide and make this happen? And so that was a turning point for me because at that point I was like, okay. Yeah. I can be a life coach. I can do this. And sometimes we need others to believe in us before we do. And that's one of the beautiful powers of coaches and mentors, because they see that potential in you before you see it yourself.
We've, kind of highlighted fear and doubt quite a bit in this conversation. It's that little guy on your shoulder, constantly in your ear, more than the angel, unfortunately. It's just chirping at you. I think there are practices, and I've definitely to myself now to have, I'm training. Let me just put that out there. I'm nowhere close to being done, but you can train your brain to have more positive self-talk than negative self-talk, but it does take intentionality and dedication. So going back to the fact where you have the guy sitting on your shoulder, chirping at you with all these negative, you can't do it. You're not enough. Why do you think you can have that? I think that saying, just don't fear it, just don't doubt yourself, is really terrible advice because it's not that easy. It makes it sound easy. What have you done and what have you seen your clients do and maybe your friends do to work through doubt and fear? And I like to say putting doubt and fear in the passenger seat, so they're not in the driver's seat, because it never leaves, right? I feel like when we make bold moves, we are doing it scared a lot of the times, but we've just put that doubt and fear in the passenger seat. So what are some ways in which, some practical, tangible ways in which you've been able to do that with fear and doubt?
Yes. Before I dive into that, actually, I want to dive into the science behind it so people understand, like, what is actually happening behind it, right? So in our brain, the reason why we have these go-to thoughts and beliefs for ourselves, it could be fear, it could be doubt, it could be like, I'm worthy, or whatever it is because of synaptic connections in your brains. So your brain is full of all these synapses. And see, these are like little docking points that your brain has where one thing goes to another, it makes a connection, it makes a road from one thing to another, and then it's that direct pathway. And your brain wants those direct pathways as much as possible so then it can move faster. Because if it doesn't have that one connection or another, it kind of gets lost. That's the uncertainty that we fear for ourselves. And so when those docking stations go from one to the another with that road made, if you think about that new job, you think about the fear, the doubt, the questions, the everything, that's the road that's been developed over time. And so to be able to break that road from one point to the other, you have to use energy. You have to use something to break that connection and then rebuild another one. And so it's kind of like tearing up a road where construction workers have to go out there and break it up and make a new one. And so that takes time, that takes energy. And so the more that you can realize that, the more that you refocus back on the positive thoughts that you want to have rather than the negative ones, each time you come back to it, the more that you're creating that new pathway for your brain to be able to understand, this is I want to think about my new job. I want to be happy. I want to be excited. I want to be grateful. That's what I want to feel. And the more you can go back to that, the more that new road is created. But your mind might slip back into the old one. And so you have to keep on directing it back. So that's what's happening in your brain. Your brain is a magnificent thing. And the more that you can really understand what's going on, you can be like, oh, that's all it is. That little devil on my shoulder is rearing itself up. I'm still deconstructing that road. It's going to be okay. Let's rebuild that new road and put it together.
Totally.
And so with that, what can we do? Like, what we see these thoughts, we see that devil on our shoulder, we hear it. How can we break that road down? So with it is really understanding them first, because if we don't understand these doubts, and these fears, these questions, we can't break them up. We can't see them for what they are.
Sure.
And so that can be hard, especially when we're in a fast-paced world where we're going from one thing to another, where we're always on our phone, when we're driving to one thing to another, we're doing so much. And so you have to take time and space to be able to sit with what's actually going on in your brain. And so journaling can be a good way to do this. Reading books and exploring those ideas and concepts. There's so many different ways you can open up your mind and be present to what's actually occurring in your mind. So that's the first step, is really seeing what's actually going on. And then from there, it's reframing those thoughts that are going on that aren't serving you. Or that devil on your shoulder is being like, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. You gotta stay put with where you're at. And so knowing that you got to reshape those, one interesting and fun thing with reshaping those thoughts and beliefs that you can be able to pick up is to state them in different language. So if you want a new job, if you want to make more money, if one of your thoughts and beliefs is, I'm not good enough for the job, for example, then you might be like, I'm so good enough for the job and want to make that your thought. But what actually can serve you better is to change the language so it doesn't trigger the same responses in your brain. Because a negative for that of, you know, going from I'm not good enough for that job to I'm good enough for the job sounds really similar to your brain. And so the more that you can mix up that language, the better it can be. It could be like, I'm so happy with my new job. I'm so grateful what it is and what I'm doing each day. That can be enough difference for your brain to be like, oh, let's create this new pathway. Let's reinforce that one for itself. So that can be a trick that people can use to be able to reshape those. And that's going to be easier so it doesn't try to go to that old path as much.
That's so helpful. And I'm loving the area of neuroscience. It makes the stuff that you hear like, oh, you should journal, you should manifest. It makes it feel more practical and more like, oh, like I can understand if there, you know, now I get that there are neural pathways in my brain that can be changed if I just put in the work to change those neural pathways. Whereas, you know, when people would jump straight to journaling has helped me so much, I didn't really understand why. And for me, and I would imagine so many different people, it helps to understand the science of why you should do something before you take action just on a hope and a dream, right? I think a lot of people are like that.
Oh, totally. Yeah, when you're able to understand why you're doing something, the ability, the drive, the motivation to do it gets so much bigger because you're like, oh, I'm doing this because this is what's happening. Then you're able to track it and be able to do it. Studies have actually been done with this to be able to show that once you know what's actually happening, that there's more effects on your body. So there was a study done with maids that had similar, there's two different sets of maids that were going about doing their work in hotels, cleaning up rooms, doing that sort of things. And one group of maids was told, oh, did you know that you're working out each day? You're doing all these different things. Another one wasn't told anything. Right. And so the ones that at the end of the time period that they had the study going on, the ones that were told they're working out actually lost weight. They ate healthier. They experienced life in a more uplifting way compared to the other ones that they weren't told. And so by knowing what we're doing, even though we're doing it each day, the more knowledge that we have and understanding about why we're doing it and how we're doing it and the impacts of it, the more impact it can have on our lives.
Oh, such a great place, actually, to migrate into the final question I ask all the guests, Mikkel, which is, what do you know today about being bold that you wish you knew earlier on?
Oh, there's so many different ways that I could take this. First thing that came into mind was you are worthy. You can have it.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing is with all the doubts and the fears, the more that we can sink into, you can have this. You can have all that it is that you want, the more we can sink into that life for ourselves. So that's what I would tell myself.
Amazing. Mikkel, if people wanted to be in touch with you, how could they reach you?
Yes, through my website, afulfilledlifecoaching.com, as well as my Facebook page. You can find me with my name, Mikkel Leslie, there.
Awesome. And I'm going to link to Mikkel's book in the show notes. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please make sure to follow this podcast so you never miss an episode. And while you're there, could I ask you to leave a rating and review? I really would appreciate it. It will help reach even more people who need inspiration and support for their bold moves. And it's just a little effort that will make a huge impact on somebody else's life. So thank you so much for helping the show out in that way. We will see you in the next episode. See you next time. Bye, everybody. One last thing before I leave you today. I'm your bold moves encouraging friend who wants to inspire and empower you to make bold moves to achieve your greatest dreams. I also need to remind you that this podcast is presented solely for educational and entertainment purposes. I'm not a licensed therapist, and this podcast is not intended as a substitute for the advice of a physician, psychotherapist, medical professional, accountant, lawyer, or other qualified professional. All right, I'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now.